Transportation Contingent Operation Group. Order. We have, there was a staff discussion last Friday with Finance and MnDOT, and some additional information was winnowed out. And Madam Speaker, which do we want to go through that information, or Representative Magnus, you had a couple questions, or what do you want to do here?
I think we should, Senator Pogumiller, probably go through that document, go over that document. There was one thing, I don't know if MnDOT's providing another document, but we had asked for the mobilization schedule spelled out in terms of the percentage, when, and kind of an approximate. I know that it was referenced that when the bridge is 10% done, I believe it's the second mobilization payment happens. And so trying to get a handle on exactly when that is and what that is, I think that was to be conveyed. So I don't see that in this packet, and maybe somebody can get that to us by the end of the meeting or do that orally with us. But
okay. So why don't we go through this SRC appropriation analysis? And is that the mobilization thing? Is that something that is going to be available at some? Welcome, Mr. Hinkle.
Good afternoon, Madam Speaker, Chair Pogumiller. Again, my name is Tim Hinkle, Division Director of Minnesota Department of Transportation. I will quickly go through the memo and the attachments that were distributed to staff at the meeting that you talked about last Friday.
Do members have
Friday.
This in your packs? Is that available out there for anybody who's interested in the
it
public?
Is.
Okay, there are some copies out there. Mr. Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your package, there are three attachments. One, there is a cover letter explaining the materials that is to the Speaker Kelleher. Then there is SRC appropriations analysis part that's a one pager. And then the third attachment, table two, is a tentative schedule of lettings, which lays out lettings over a long time frame. I would like to go immediately to the second handout in your package, which lays out an analysis of the schedule of the state fiscal year 2008 state road construction encumbrances. Everybody has that in front of you. Going through this spreadsheet very quickly, starting with the top portion of this spreadsheet, is a quick breakdown again of the information that Mr. Gray presented, I believe, two meetings ago. It is a summary of the 2008 Trunk Highway Base State Road Construction Appropriation with some of the additions that he spoke to, including dedicated receipts from the shared construction projects, as well as the 2008 Special Session Appropriation specifically for the I-35 bridge, adding $12 million and $53 million, a total of $65 million to the base appropriation of $551 million, which gives us a current total of $616 million of state road construction appropriation. Then there is a takedown for appropriations that have been used through September 30th of this fiscal year, which leaves approximately $481 million of available state road construction appropriation. Then there is a further takedown in this analysis for the fiscal year 2008 estimated bridge and related costs of $308 million, with some quick math there that again refers to some of those expenditures. If you recall, there is a $393 million total cost. The $308 is the result after reduction for some of the costs that will not be cost to the department until fiscal year 2009. In the end, the remaining state road construction appropriation balance as of October 1st of this year is $173 million. Now quickly moving to the bottom portion, Table 1. This is a breakdown of the monthly lettings with the date of letting, date of advertisement, the actual project costs for each of those lettings, the set-asides, which are other costs, and the total need. As you go down this chart, as you can see, the analysis starts in October with the state road construction appropriation balance, again, being $173 million, and goes down through June, the end of this fiscal year, in this analysis. As you look at the most important column in this analysis, it is the remaining appropriation balance, which reaches the first negative point in January of calendar year 2008, with an approximate, an estimate of $145 million of budget authority need, as we have testified in the past, at the end of fiscal year 2008. The last.
Senator?
Madam Speaker.
Senator Pogue-Miller and Mr. Henkel, if we could stay on that page for a second, I have a couple questions. I was a little surprised because it had not been talked about when we were talking about the amount needed for the bids to be let, the issue of set-asides previously. And so, you know, I think maybe you could talk about the set-asides here. I mean, one curious thing for me is just looking at a budget document that has a, you know, meant to be insulting, but a dummy number in the budget here for $14 million.
Plug.
The $14 million plug, $15 million, $17 million plug. Raises some questions always in budgeting about what's happening there. So could you talk about those set-asides and why they're there and why the plug number?
Madam Speaker, if I could refer you to the cover memo in the second paragraph, there is a brief summary of some of the elements which describe for members what fits into the set-aside category in terms of expenditures. So as you look at that particular paragraph, it says, in addition to project lettings, many other construction-related expenditures are encumbered against the state road construction budget, including items like right-of-way expenditures, construction-related professional technical contracts, and supplemental agreements, just to name a few. When you look at the actual spreadsheet again, the expenditures that we show up through October are expenditures that have been based upon an actual analysis of our MAPS program, our accounting system for expenditures, and then the set-asides in terms of expenditures that remain are an estimate based upon that previous history of, you know, basically July through September of this fiscal year.
So, Senator Pogue-Miller, if I may, Mr. Henkel, how much has the department spent this year, this calendar year, on those set-asides?
Madam Speaker, I believe the figure is about $38 to $39 million of total expenditures for set-asides.
So, Mr. Chair and Mr. Henkel, so the total spent this year is $38 to $39 million, but that plug is $14 million a month, which from October to June will be $134 million. Seems, you know, slightly high then by the experience, but could you enlighten us further on that?
Madam Speaker, I think this is fairly typical of set-aside expenditures, and as we've looked historically at how we've encumbered those costs over time, often as we get later into the construction season, in this case, and as we get into the summer construction season, some of those set-asides might get slightly higher than this. But we've tried to reflect on that history and what we would expect to see, knowing full well that it's really based upon what really happens once we get into that construction season and when the bills come in for those elements.
Representative Silver.
Chair, Mr. Hinkle, when is the decision made to expend the set-asides? Are you making decisions now in October to spend the set-asides?
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, it's made as those bills are invoiced. So as they come forward, we're basically paying out those costs that that we accrue.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't think I answered my question. We're looking at projects being out for bid and that kind of stuff, in, as I understand what the schedule is. Because you have a date of advertising, and so my understanding is the set-asides are for things like road repairs and so forth. Are you actually making a contract now in October for to spend that set-aside, or in December to spend that set-aside for a repair of a road that's going to happen in actual work be done in July or August? Are you doing that now? Are these actual contracts being let now?
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, if I were to look at each of the examples that I've provided to you, for example, right-of-way set-asides, we basically encumber those costs as the right-of-way is necessary. So that's a variable that it varies depending on the program, the right-of-way that's necessary, and the costs that accrue over time. There's no way for us to necessarily plan for exactly when we're going to have to pay that bill. Some of the other set-asides, like contracts for technical professional services, we can have a little bit better handle on what contracts are necessary and what bills we might have to pay. But again, as those projects which are using professional services to help us provide the resources, they will accrue costs at their own speed within that contract time frame. Again, we will pay those bills as they are invoiced based upon the need that exists or outlay that they might have for those particular efforts. So those are two examples of why there's so much flexibility and why it's so difficult for us to necessarily know exactly how the outlay of the set-aside should go. But historically, and looking at what we've seen in the last 3 months, this seems like a fair outlay for those set-asides and those costs over the remainder of this fiscal year.
Madam Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Hinkle, basically what we're looking at here is a document where set-aside plug-in cost is listed from October to June of $134 million. And this year to date, you've used 33% of that similar amount. So I apologize if my math is really off, but I did it myself, so I'm not relying on Corinne today. But I think it's pretty accurate. And so I guess a question would be, and I don't want to panic anyone in the room right now, that we're not going to have some sort of conclusion today, but maybe in the future you could outline for this group the historic set-aside costs, just so we have a better handle on that issue in a month-by-month fashion, because it does seem a little high for what we've seen year-to-date, and a little bit concerned about that. So,
Madam Speaker, I'll put that on my hit list.
Okay, great.
It looks like 40% of the number we're talking about. Okay. And I think you want to then go through the tentative schedule of lettings.
Madam Speaker, Mr. Chairman, the last item in this package is Table 2, the tentative schedule of lettings. This is the schedule of lettings from October of 2007 through June of 2008. It is broken down by month over the course of that time frame. And the numbers that are highlighted in bold as you go through this five-page document are the numbers that are then referenced in the simple one-page spreadsheet in the column that that is identified as projects. So, for example, in this spreadsheet, for the month of October, it's $1.177 million worth of total lettings. And in the spreadsheet, you can see that that has been numbered rounded off to a project cost of $1.2 million for purposes of this analysis.
Representative Demers doesn't get a road here. Oh, no, that's 1M.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
So, Madam Speaker, Mr. Chairman, that is a very brief, quick overview of the materials that were handed out to staff and discussed with staff last Friday.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Henkel, if you could go back to the SRC appropriation analysis sheet. I think you've been at all of these hearings, and thank you for doing that and being here. I think it's you've heard a lot of the conversation that many members of the legislature would prefer to be included in this decision versus a small group like this group. And so I'm going to ask you a couple questions based kind of using that assumption to get to where at least my thinking is right now. So one of the goals may be to get the department to February so that, you know, the projects scheduled here can be move forward, knowing that we're coming back on February 12th. Certainly doesn't preclude the department and the Department of Finance, MnDOT and the Department of Finance, to coming back to this group if there were some sort of emergency or something really unforeseen. Say Congress truly doesn't pass this bill and get it signed by the president or something like that. But if I'm looking at this and I kind of look down the remaining appropriation balance, it appears to me that to get you through the point when the February letting happens, which is the 22nd after we come into session, and the next advertising period doesn't start for the March bids until the 25th of February, it would appear that you need an appropriation of about $60 million to get to that point and then have maybe a broader discussion by the entire legislature on these matters. Mr. Henkel, would that be an accurate reading of that chart?
Madam Speaker, that is correct.
Yeah. It's very helpful.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Questions in my mind, again, how this cash flows. And one question I have is reimbursement of expenses by the other local entities like Minneapolis or St. Paul or Hennepin County and that sort of thing. Does that go through MnDOT? Does their request go through MnDOT? You pay them and then go on to the federals, or how does this work?
Madam Speaker, Representative Magnus, that is correct. MnDOT is the administrator of ER funds, and so we will work with the cities to identify costs and then work with the FHWA to determine eligibility of those costs. With approval of the FHWA regarding the eligibility of a specific city or county request, then MnDOT will process out of that account and pay back to the cities those that are deemed eligible by FHWA.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Henkel, you estimate, I've been in several of these meetings now, and I think our understanding was when the transportation committees were meeting in August that we expect the turnaround to be 6 to 8 weeks on those funds because it is using an emergency relief fund. Money. Is that correct?
Madam Speaker, Representative Magnus, the total time frame, average time frame for processing these requests is a total of 3 months from the beginning where there's a disaster declaration to the end where we are in a position to be able to reimburse after FHWA eligibility determination. At this point, we're looking at sometime in the first week of November as being hopefully when we reach the end of that timeline and begin reimbursing.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Henkel, what about the? I'm a bit confused about the FEMA funds. Could you explain that to us?
Madam Speaker, Representative Magnus, FEMA is a separate program that can offer assistance in particulars to city and counties, but MnDOT can also receive FEMA funds. This is an effort, well, FEMA funds are also available for this disaster recovery, and the cities as well as MnDOT are submitting to FEMA those potentially eligible costs that can compete for the FEMA funding as well. And so we are carefully looking at eligibility in total for ER funds as well as eligibility for FEMA funds when we look across the board at the total cost of this bridge and associated costs, and looking for every possible cost to be covered by either of those two categories.
Now, with the FEMA funds, say Minneapolis or St. Paul or Hennepin County, whatever local government entity or local entity incurs those costs, do you manage those two, or are they reimbursed directly by the federals? Do you have to pass through that?
Madam Speaker, Representative Magnus, FEMA is administered through the Homeland Security Office, and so we are not directly involved in the FEMA distribution and reimbursement process. We, however, are applying for FEMA funds just like local governments are, and hope to be eligible for some of our costs under the FEMA program as well.
And what do you estimate the turnaround to be on that? Would that be similar to the ER funds, or would it be a longer time frame?
Ms. Freed.
Madam Chair, Representative, we actually have made our submittal for FEMA funds. FEMA is the fund of last resort, meaning if funds are not covered through the ER program, but they may be eligible for FEMA. So the department has actually made their request, and it's a order of magnitude of around $250,000. And it has been approved already, and we anticipate receiving those funds within a month to 6 weeks. They were approved, I believe, last week. I can get you the specifics on that.
One more, Mr. Chairman, and I still have a question in my mind, too, about the ER funds, and we talked about this at the initial Transportation Committee, joint committee's hearing, when we talked about betterments, and that the ER funds don't cover, the term the federals use is betterments. In other words, it's something that we're putting on the bridge now that wasn't on the bridge that failed. How much is that? Do you estimate that's going to cost in this project? The cost of betterments, and how do we fund those? Do you have a general number you could toss out to me now?
Madam Speaker, Representative Magnus, the only element that I'm aware of at this point in time that we've costed out that fits in the betterment category is the LRT strengthening of the replacement I-35W bridge. It's my understanding that's in the $4.7 plus or minus million-dollar category. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be other costs that the FHWA determines to be in the betterment category. That is the only cost so far that I'm aware of that FHWA has determined to be a betterment.
Thank you.
Representative Silver.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hinkle, a clarification on the applying for the federal funds for the $55 million that's available for us. Did you say that the application will be in by the first week in November, or that you expect to have some reimbursements come into the state by the first week in November?
Madam Chairman, Representative Solberg, we hope to have reimbursement capability around the first week of November.
Explain reimbursement capability, will you?
Madam Chairman,
talk a little bit of bureaucracy's ease here.
Representative Solberg, if you can hearken back to the flow chart that I testified to, a total of 3 months. Within that three-month time frame, there are a number of processes that need to be completed. One of the key steps is for MnDOT to complete its submittal of DDIRs, the disaster spreadsheets summarizing costs. A second key activity is for FHWA to accept those submittals and to determine within each of those DDIRs eligible costs. The last step is then once the FHWA signs off on eligible costs within each of those DDIRs, then we can move into the reimbursement stage where the FHWA has said, yes, these costs are eligible. Now, as the invoices come to MnDOT, then we submit those invoices and get final approvals and begin that getting costs back into the department, money back into the department.
So, point of clarification that you're supposed to, by the 1st of November, be eligible, have that last step done, be ready to get something back from the federal government. Have everything okay by the first week in November.
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Speaker.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Mr. Hinkle, just I think a good way to look at that light rail number, we just did the calculation, so 1.25% cost on the project. So just thought folks would like to know that. I think the estimate earlier was a lot higher, maybe a $20 million cost, and so it's at 1.25 to do the strengthening for the light rail potential on the bridge. Ms. Fries, I'm really glad you're sitting up there because I wanted to ask you a couple questions on the January letting schedule, and particularly on the issue, I think page 2 of the table of tentative schedule lettings, about a third of the way down, maybe a fourth of the way down, there is Metro District 494, 51 million, it looks like, Hardman Ave to Maxwell Ave and the construction of the bridge. I believe that's the Wakota Bridge. Could you confirm that, Deputy Commissioner? The 51 million there?
I think it is.
That is correct.
Okay. And Deputy Commissioner Fries, if you would, I know there was some conversations at the staff level last week about what sorts of things are going to impact the letting of the Wakota Bridge. And obviously, this process is potentially one of those things, but could you lead us through that discussion you had at a staff level of the number of elements that may go into whether this project is ready to be let in January or not?
Well, if I could first, Chair Kelleher, if I could first take a step back and address the question that you had of Mr. Hinkle about whether or not $60 million would be an adequate figure. And that figure is problematic for us because we have a letting schedule that goes through the end of the fiscal year, and this is where the Wakota Bridge fits into that whole letting schedule. It's problematic not to be able to know whether or not we have enough to handle the entire fiscal year, because there are a number of projects that if we don't have adequate authority to let them, we may choose to move or not let those projects until we have authority, in lieu of being able to do something that may be later in the schedule of lettings for this fiscal year. As I had discussed on Friday, the letting schedule is not in priority order. It is based in project readiness order and our capability of delivering them based on right-of-way, plan development, agreements with utilities or railroads and other things that need to be done. From the standpoint of the Wakota Bridge, we currently have a contract, and we have some issues with access to the site. We do have a way to resolve that. If we let the project earlier, it may have some cost implications, but there is a way potentially to resolve that issue. In terms of the Wakota Bridge, we could let it as early as January, but a big part of that plays into the mix of projects and whether or not other things how it falls within the priority of the other projects that we have on our letting schedule and whether or not we'd be able to let them.
So, Mr. Chair and Deputy Commissioner, I think it's fair to call this project, the Wakota Bridge project, a troubled project at this point. It's had some issues. In your professional judgment, do you believe it'll be ready to let by January?
The plans will be ready, and we will be ready to let it.
Okay. Mr. Chair and Deputy Commissioner, I guess that conflicts with some information I was given that you stated in this other meeting, so I guess I'm just puzzled by that in terms of some other issues, and maybe that is just the access issue, but folks had indicated to me that you gave a list of issues that could affect the Wakota Bridge letting project. I just had hoped you might be able to recount those for us here, but maybe not. So,
Sir Murphy.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I'm along the same lines with the troubled project that the speaker spoke about. Ms. Freeze, can you tell us why it is that it just doesn't seem like you want to build this bridge real bad? Well, I don't understand that, but what is what are some of these reasons that were alluded to in Friday's meeting? Why don't you give us those reasons as to why this bridge could be delayed again?
Well, I think the department wants to complete the Wakota Bridge project, and I would not characterize my discussion last Friday with regard to us not wanting to complete that project. Those comments were made in the context of the entire program and which projects. And I think from our perspective, if we had to deal with projects that were ready to go and in a good position where we could get good prices on them and not have other obstacles or challenges, in terms of selecting projects, we may or may not think the Wakota Bridge is the best project to move forward. Those are decisions that we would need to make once we know what authorization levels we have to move forward with.
Sarah Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Freeze, what process would you go through to rank these projects in kind of in the order of importance?
Right now, we have not gone to that decision-making level yet.
But, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Freeze, what I'm asking is what kind of process, what do you figure in?
We would, first of all, place preservation and safety projects in our highest order in terms of scheduling projects through the remainder of the fiscal year.
And the Mr. Chairman and Ms. Freeze, where does it fall in about for example, the I-35W bridge? I think it was 141,000 vehicle trips a day. I'm not exactly sure what the Wakota Bridge is, something a little less than that, but still above 100,000. Where does that fall into the decision-making process?
Well, the Wakota Bridge, like all of our projects in our program, is an important project for us to complete. However, we do at this time have one half of the bridge project completed, and we are blessed with at least as much, actually more capacity than the original bridge. So at this point, we have the benefits of part of that project completed, benefiting the commuters and the travelers in that part of the metro area. So congestion at this particular point in time is decreased from what it was a couple of years ago.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Freeze, I think that there would be a lot of people that would dispute that fact about the congestion in that corridor going down rush hour, and I think that there's probably about 50,000 people in the state that would disagree. Kind of what I'm getting at here is you made some statements on Friday as to this project may not be let anyway, even if you did have the authority and you had other reasons behind it. What were those reasons?
My recollection of those reasons that you all seem to have aren't as clear. I don't remember what you all seem to think I said.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Silver.
To this point, Ms. Reese, I'll have to go back and get the tape on Thursday. I think it was Thursday's meeting, but publicly on the tape as well. You kind of alluded that there may be other problems with this particular bridge that would cause it to be delayed. And I don't know if we ever got to what those other problems would be, and I think that's what we're trying to get at, is what are some of those other potential list of things. I'll have to go back and look at the tape, but if I recall right, and that testimony on Thursday here, I think it was Thursday that we were, that there may be some other issues with the bridge that would cause it to be delayed. And I think that's what we're asking for. What could be some of those issues?
That was was that a general discussion about delay of projects in general?
I think
it was about delay of projects in general. Yeah. And sometimes that happens because of right-of-ways and various other things. Wasn't it?
Mr. Chair, that's my recollection of that. However, I do know there was a conversation between Ms. Fries and some staff folks, and I think the terminology was a range of issues could delay the Wakota Bridge, including the issue that you spoke of, the access issue, as well as you might have mentioned local government approvals. No?
No.
Okay.
There's no additional local government approvals needed to complete that project. So that was not one of the reasons.
Okay. I guess
maybe if I could just briefly comment on when we were talking about, I think my discussion of the Wakota Bridge is being taken out of context here. We were talking about it in terms of context of having only partial authorization for the completion of our program for next year. And in terms of selecting which projects we would move forward with that had the least amount of risk, that was the context in which the Wakota project came up as a concern. And in that regard, we have an existing contract, so what it means that we would need to wait until we have total access to the site. We do have some other ways to resolve that, but it could result in the cost being higher. We don't know that, but those are just issues that we would need to consider in terms of which project list we would move forward with if we only had partial authorization.
So, Ms. Fries, what I hear you saying, Mr. Chair, Deputy Commissioner Fries, right now, under the schedule that we were given, the SRC letting schedule, that includes $51 million for the Wakota Bridge, pretty clearly. What I hear you saying is that project could become more expensive, and so that would potentially put the project in jeopardy for letting in January then. But currently, that $60 million we're talking about, that's reflective of what you've provided here, correct, Ms. Fries?
Correct.
This doesn't have any bearing on this, but just a curiosity. Wasn't the $51 million authorized in a previous legislative session? Because the project's being relet. So at some point, you were going to let it, so you must have had authority to do the $51 million at some point. correct? I'm a non-transportation person, but that seems to be the logic here, because this was a project somehow that was let in two pieces, apparently, and that at some point the department decided not to do the one contract, even though you had authority, and so it just seems to me that that money's still sitting there, but that authority, yeah. That authority, not the money, the authority is still sitting there.
Senator Pogemiller, Chair Kelleher, the Wachota Bridge was let as one contract.
Correct.
And we eliminated the second bridge, the work from the second bridge as a part of that contract. There was an amount that was associated with that in the contract, and that money has been reallocated through an amendment in our STIP to the reletting of this project in a different fiscal year. So, yes, that is true that we did at one point have money
authority
in the budget for that project. But as a result of terminating that portion of the work in the contract, the money was then put into our STIP for this fiscal year, along with some additional funding to anticipate the extra costs that were associated with the new design of that bridge and is now in this fiscal year's list of projects.
I think what you just said, help me out. I'm not in the Transportation Committee, but it just seems to me that you had authority to do this. A different decision was made, for better or for worse. I mean, I have no way of knowing, but for some reason the department decided not to go ahead with that authority. And so it's not like that authority was wiped away. Now, did you reallocate it to other projects? Did you spend that authority on other projects then?
Yes, we did.
Okay. And what year would that have been, last year's appropriations?
I'm assuming that it was in last year's projects.
Okay, so it's hard to get to any kind of conclusion that says somehow whatever we do here ultimately is a go or no go for Wachota. Because you had that authority, you chose to do something else, and I'm not questioning whether that was a good decision or not. I'm just saying that's what happened. And so it seems that if we cover this $60 million number here, Wachota's good to go if it's ready to go in January. It's got enough authority. If these other issues don't take place. And I think that's the comfort that everybody wants here. They want the comfort that if we settle at the $60 million number, that's enough to get us to the legislative session. Wachota won't be negatively impacted unless there's a different reason to stop Wachota, which there may be, legitimate reason to not go. But it won't be because of what this group does. That's all I think people want comfort.
And I think, Senator Pogemiller, Chair Kelleher, I think that in terms of a decision-making process, we can be ready in January to go with Wachota.
And this
but in terms of whether or not a $60 million appropriation will... what set of projects of the remaining fiscal year 2008 projects that we need to move forward, whether or not Wachota is one that we move forward with versus several overlay projects, right. I don't think we've made that decision
okay,
yet.
And I think people are understanding that. Mm-hmm. The issue is, I think where the speaker is headed is a process here whereby this group says we could sign off on a $60 million number. That gets us into February. If you choose or not choose to do Wachota at that point, that's a different decision because the authority is there to do it. You may choose to do other projects because Wachota is not good to go for some reason. And that's fine. I think people just want the comfort that Wachota, that nothing this group does slows down Wachota. There may be other reasons it slowed down, legitimate reasons. That's all I think people are looking for, is that comfort. And I think you've answered yes, that's correct, because the speaker asked you, does this get you through February at the $60 million? And the answer from the numbers we have, yes, because it includes the $51 million for Wachota. Am I missing something? I'm just trying to expedite this. I think we're going around. There may be a whole lot of issues related to Wachota, but one of them isn't that we're going to slow it down here.
I think that having only $60 million of additional appropriation authority puts the department needing to review its entire program for the rest of the fiscal year. And it just happens to be that WCODA is one of those projects in the program. And so I don't think that you can necessarily guarantee that your decision, if you only appropriate or agree to appropriate $60 million, will lead to a successful moving WCODA forward successfully.
But Assistant Commissioner, I may be missing something here, but it says if we came up with $60 million through February, you can do what you were planning on doing.
January letting.
Because it's a January letting. If you don't do the January letting, then you got an extra $51 million. If you do it, then the number we're talking about, the Speaker and the House are talking about, covers you because we'll be back in session. I think that's the only thing that people want to make sure is the case. And it's our understanding from staff level that that is the case.
But I think we have a challenge then for the next month, because prior to any legislative decision being made, we will have additional projects that we'll need to appropriate. And
but those are beyond, sure, but that's then the February letting, or the February letting. So those are the ones that people want to look at. Okay, if somehow the legislature doesn't do something.
No, that's the March letting.
That's the March letting. I'm sorry, that's the March letting.
Right.
And so all you need to do is look at the March letting and say, is there anything on there that you think is so high risk? And those numbers aren't very big, actually. $5 million. No, March is $15 million. And that's 28, Trunk Highway 87 and Park Rapids. I've been on that. Some traffic signals. And you would have to then say the legislature didn't want to go ahead with those $15 million. Which presumably they will.
Well, Senator Pogemiller, Chair Kelleher, I think the one thing that I would caution you on, and I think I know where you're heading with this, but the concern that I have is if in the in condition a decision is not made to give us more appropriation authority at some future juncture point, our flexibility in terms of managing the program, in particular, with letting a large project like WCODA, is greatly reduced. And unfortunately, then, it puts us in a situation where we would have to impact more of the non-metro part of our program than we have already indicated or have been working with them in terms of identifying potential projects. So the risk is that...
But aren't you going to make that decision in January before we're back here? Go or no go on WCODA, you're going to make regardless of whether we're here or not.
That is correct.
Okay. Well, so my only point is, so WCODA is not at risk here for this number. You may, and we've understood, I understand, that you may decide for other reasons not to go ahead with WCODA. Okay, but that doesn't affect the number we're going to choose here today. That's all. There's nothing, I'm not trying to be complex here. I'm just, it seems like you're going to make, the department's going to make that decision on a variety of reasons prior to us even being back here. But that by doing the $60 million that the House is suggesting, on your cash flow analysis, that gets you to where you need to be by February. That's all. It just seems, I think what we're trying to do is figure out a way here to figure out a way to split the baby in order that everybody gets what they need until the legislature gets back into session. And everybody can start all over again as to who's doing what or why.
Mr. Chair?
I think that's where we're trying to get.
And from the very beginning, when they were presenting the material on the cost of the bridge, they said they got to come to the legislature of $143 million anyway.
On the 35W
bridge.
Unless we get the feds to give us that money.
Unless we get the feds, that's right. Correct. So without any question, the very first thing we talked about, the bridge isn't, the 35W bridge is $383 million, and it's going to take legislative action for that, period. There's not enough money. We've got to find that money some way.
With all the controversy over WCODA, it seems to me, if you can let that in January, you're going to do it. nobody needs that continued discussion. It just seems to me that's the logical thing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the Assistant Commissioner, I guess maybe we're not being clear enough. But there are those of us at this table, and I think I'm speaking for others, that believe this amount of money that you're asking for authority on is best left in the hands of the legislature. And granted, the statutory authority exists for us to do this, but we're getting a lot of pressure from our other legislative friends that they want to be part of the solution on transportation. And it really appears to me, so correct me if I'm wrong as I'm listening to this, it seems like the department has plenty of faith in the feds that they're going to come up with the money, but they don't have any faith with our own legislature that we're going to come up with the money, because I don't think any of us want to stop transportation projects. I really believe we all know there's transportation issues out there, but there is a lot of argument within the legislature about who should be authorizing extended appropriations and whether this committee ought to be limited to a certain amount, somewhat south of what we're looking at. So I think that's the whole issue. So I guess my question to you is, do you not have the faith in the Minnesota legislature that we will continue to fund the projects that you are going to let on this schedule?
Most certainly I have faith in the Minnesota legislature to make the right decisions and move forward with the right transportation package to deal with this issue. So that's not my concern. What I do have concern about is that we are put in the position of knowing that the legislative process does take time and that there will be probably not immediate action that first month into the legislature. And we will be faced with decisions with very little flexibility without at least that appropriation authority of $145 million. And that's our challenge. We would like to do the right thing. We'd like to work with the legislature over the course of the immediate first couple of months, but we know that you're all going to want to do the right thing and take the amount of time necessary to put together the right package. We're hopeful that we will come to you over the next couple of months with more clarity about what that needs to be, but right now we need to, with some level of certainty, be able to move forward and know what our program will be over the rest of this fiscal year. And that's a very large challenge for us. And it's not only important for the internal workings of managing our staff within the department, but it's very important to our contracting community to have some clarity and faith in us about what projects we're going to be moving forward. And that's why $145 million is very important. I understand why you're reluctant to go with the full $195 million because we need to have the federal government and Congress take action on that, and that is a big if. But I'm sure they will come through for us. But meanwhile, we're being put in a very difficult and challenging position about knowing whether or not the legislature in a very, very short amount of time can help put together a package that will enable us to keep moving forward with our program. And as we continue to let projects each month, we have less options to deal with in terms of controlling the appropriation authority that we have left. So from our standpoint, it's very important to have some assurance that we have most of the appropriation authority that we need to get us through the entire fiscal year.
Senator Youngbar.
Well, Mr. Chair and Assistant Commissioner, that all makes sense, and I get that, but I think in the absence, and maybe I'm wrong here, that we don't move swiftly, and I know as Transportation Committee members we'll move swiftly to make sure we work on that, but I believe you could still come back to us as a committee and ask for more authority. And well, I'm certainly hoping that MnDOT comes to us and tells us some ideas, because I'm having problems with the governor's office giving me some ideas in terms of a minority member of where to start with a transportation bill that we can all be happy with and have less controversy, so we are moving something major forward. So, but I think that's the other option is to come back to us because, again, knowing the nature of the transportation projects we all want on the ground, I don't think you're going to see anybody moving slowly to make sure. But we're getting a lot of pushback from our fellow members of the legislature that this is probably not the right form, and we're already talking about, again, adding to this statute on this committee as to what is the actual realm in terms of dollars. Because I personally don't believe it's the right place to be on such large appropriations.
Okay, any other questions on these handouts? And then let's get Commissioner Hansen up here and try to get done here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've got a couple of questions. Ms. Fries, do you believe that let me ask you this. We had documentation the other day, and it showed that from any given pay period to the next, MnDOT has a cash balance at the bottom line. There's a few places where you kind of dip below into the red a little bit. And so I'm just sitting here kind of running through my head. Well, okay, they've got authority at X. They program up to about whatever the level is. I mean, you leave a little cushion there. That's prudent to do. But still, even in past years, you dip into the red a little bit. So I'm thinking here, okay, we give you that much appropriation authority, but only this much appropriation. And so there are projects that get kind of moved around all the time because the money and the authority don't match up all the time. So, you know, I don't understand about the I-35, or not the Wacota Bridge, I mean, and this other list of projects. And now you're trying to say that, well, we'd have to make some drastic changes when it seems to me, knowing the last 15 years of MnDOT's operation, that those balls are being juggled all the time. Regardless of what we do here, the balls were going to get juggled regardless with your programming schedule because sometimes the money doesn't match the authority. You might have had to juggle a little less if we only give – you might have to juggle a little more if we give you 60 versus 0. That I understand. So if you get 0, you're going to have to do a lot of moving things around. If you get 60, probably less. If you hit the whole 145, 143, you're still going to have to move things around. And it happens year in, year out. So I don't know why the Wacota Bridge got drug into this, but maybe because I drug it in the other day. I don't know. But, you know, I think that when we're talking about, well, you know, if we don't get all the authority, we're going to have to, you know, make some drastic changes. I just think that that kind of was going to happen anyway, maybe not on a large scale.
Mr. Chair.
That's my statement, so.
Madam Speaker.
But anyway.
Sorry to step on your last words.
Did he drag us into the Wacota Bridge discussion?
No.
No, I think it's been a troubled project for a while, so I don't think that's...
You have to carry the guilt on that.
I don't think yet. I absolve that guilt right now, okay? Ms. Fries, if you could, at our future meeting, you will be completed with the October month, and you'll be into the November month. If you could detail what the set-aside expenditures in Mr. Hinkle actually are versus the plug-in number there, that would be helpful. And then just let's have a practice of doing that at each subsequent meeting so that we understand how that number moves. I think that would be very important.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And at staff level, I really appreciate it. The staff learned a lot, and I think it's because you were so forthcoming as staff. Thank you very much. House says, I'll give credit where credit's due. The House has been working with finance on a way to kind of accommodate all concerns here. And we passed out an October 15th, 2007 document that could be good for signatures from this group. Speaker, do you want to try? And I just want to, one of the things that's going on here is that the legislature clearly needs to relook at the LAC process, because it has morphed into, in the last few years, not just because of this, but some other previous things, it's morphed into something that is not just $1 million here and $100,000 there. We're now getting into big numbers, and so we're getting a lot of pushback, legitimate issues raised by legislators of both sides of the aisle, and it started to happen 2 years ago, actually, Representative Abrams and Knobloch, about
Bishop before that,
Representative Bishop. And I think the size of this request it has kind of brought this to a head in the legislative process. And so as a way to accommodate that concern in the legislative process, which clearly needs a relook, the House, the Speaker, has and Finance Committee, or Ways and Means, I apologize, has been working with Finance Department to try to figure out a way to get something done here that keeps the ball rolling, but does it in a way that's respective of legislative prerogative that many members are starting to really be concerned about. And so that's what I think the House, Representative Solberg and the Speaker have been working on here. So Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, I think we've passed this out to members. And what we're trying to do, I think, is get to a point where we don't slow anything down, but that we have some semblance of a process where a small group of members aren't spending hundreds of millions of dollars without kind of the general legislature being involved in that discussion. So we're trying to figure out a way to accommodate all of these concerns at once. Madam Speaker.
Well, Mr. Chair and members and to the members of the administration, the public who are here, I think it's been clear throughout this process that we have a public process, that we continue to have a public process in this. And I think that flows all the way through to the legislative session, that there's public discussions of this type of authority moving forward. We understand that no one is going to be completely happy by this solution today, although I think I've heard a few places that when no one's quite completely happy, maybe you have the essence of a good situation. And I think for us, the art of making this happen so we don't have project delays leading up to the 2008 legislative session is about being able to have more accountability in our conversations with the department, with MnDOT, to be able to have a more public process about that, to bring more legislators into that process. And there is actually precedence for this type of action, at least by the existing LAC. Now, we're under a new process here, and we understand that, and that is part of what has caused a lot of distress among, I think, a lot of members of the legislature, Republicans and Democrats both, in terms of the direction that this is moving. However, there have been previous times when the LAC has asked for advisory by the governor, by the Department of Finance, and a different amount was granted. And so we feel that this is a reasonable position to be in and to bring forward. So what this document does is it basically states that as an individual, we can each support the authority of a $60 million additional. Goes through kind of outlining that. It also, I think, importantly says that there will be future public meetings of this group leading into the 2008 legislative session, since I think we have established a line of questioning here that we need to continue with to find out some very critical answers. And so we've actually laid out for the department, because I know there is a concern here. There's a lot of trust towards Congress, maybe not as much trust towards all of us here in this room. Thank you, Ms. Friso, for saying that you trusted us to actually get this job done. We actually lay out a timeline for that, approximately the first weeks of the month, November, December, and then the second week in January, just knowing we're starting a later legislative session. Some people may be choosing to travel over the holiday season there. And so we also specify in this document that the reports, the public reports back in this setting with the Department of Transportation should include but are not limited to the status of federal funds as they relate to the 35W project, the status of the 35W bridge replacement, the status of expenditures related to 35W replacement, including local expenditures, which I think Representative Magnus was kind of getting at today, questions about federal assistance applied for, received, and the actual construction schedule versus projected construction schedule. Changes in number four, changes in forecast revenues and expenditures in the Trunk Highway Fund. You all know that will be very important in the December meeting because we will have an updated forecast. And then five, changes in the cash flow projections in the Trunk Highway Fund. And six, an update on the status of the Wakota Bridge Project and Allstate Road Projects for the FY 2008, including continued updating of that bid letting schedule. And I think with that, we're in an odd spot here. We're not a exact standing committee, and I think the best way is to have a little bit of, I don't know how you want to proceed, Mr. Chairman, discussion, or maybe bring the Commissioner of Finance forward. Yeah,
Commissioner should come forward. Is this something the members of the group are comfortable with?
Mr. Chair, I think we are all kind of struggling with this, and rightly so. I guess that's why we hold a certificate. None of us want to see a project delayed. None of us in the room would have anticipated, hopefully, that we would have had the bridge collapse. All of us, I would personally feel very comfortable if we had received the money from the federal government. But I do have to also put some trust in that. This the loss is received, and I suppose we can have some discussion on what that word means. But I think with the reports coming back, and particularly the reports of monies coming from the federal government of the 55, would be extremely important. And we've established already, it's on the list, but that will be part of the report coming, and I think that's extremely important. And we've also established this committee that, quite frankly, I think the department knew sometime before August 15th or thereabouts that this authority was going to be needed, and I've expressed my disappointment in the timing of this and surprise. But given the realities that we face here, and I'm comfortable in signing this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a couple questions I have, and or concerns that I have. But if we go with the $60 million, I am concerned about the turnaround we would have as a full legislature when we meet in February again. We start February 12th. It doesn't leave us a lot of time to get the next $30 million. Put together if we follow this schedule here. Go from $60 million to $90 million then, and basically the end of February. They want to let the bids out February 25th. I am concerned about that time frame right there. It only gives us 10 days basically to get something done. And I'm willing to work with Senator Murphy and Senator Jungbauer and Representative Leader and the transportation group to get to get things done in the leadership, but I am concerned about that, and we may have to look at that during the January or December meeting and be prepared, because I do have a concern that we can't move fast enough right then. So,
Mr. Chairman, in that regard, I understand what you're saying, Representative Magnus, but bottom line is I think that $60 million ought to be the cutoff, and then, if we do need to come back in mid-December, mid-January, whenever, and do another $30 million, I think that's what the process that we need to take.
for a lot of different reasons, and I won't go into it right now.
Right. That's fine.
Okay.
That he won't go into it, or that he won't have to.
You know what?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, we do want to get out of here.
Their misery.
Yeah.
This is, the House has basically done this with the Commissioner. Commissioner, if I sign this, can we put this group out of its misery for a while?
But it's so fun, Senator. Mr. Chair.
Commissioner, thank you for working at staff level last Friday. So.
Welcome. Madam Speaker, I'm Tom Hansen, Commissioner of Finance, and always your executive secretary of this illustrious group. This document, as provided, it meets the requirements in statute. If five of the eight sign it, then MnDOT's appropriation authority will be increased by $60 million. And then we will, speaking on behalf of MnDOT, we will work with them on the other conditional items you have on here to provide you with whatever information you need.
We got two signatures right now. Other questions?
Mr. Chairman, who signed?
Speaker and I have signed.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still not signing, all right?
I think we know that, Senator Murphy.
All right.
And
gee, does that mean I have to sign it then?
Yeah.
The Army's always got to save the Marines, you know. Always got to save them.
And for Mr. Chair, I know that Representative Leader would like to sign in. We're going to work to get his signature on the document, even if it should have five by the end of this meeting. We would prefer, before it's filed with the commissioner, that Representative Leader is able to sign.
Okay. So I think we'll then see everybody in Commissioner, I'm sorry.
Madam Speaker, I think he could just sign if you just fax him a copy.
Okay.
Just have him sign a copy. I think that's fine.
Last chance. There you go.
Yeah.
All
right.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on here now without Leader. So.
See them in.
So, department.
Maybe the commissioner from the department should come up just so she, you know, that she understands.
Commissioner Hansen, anything you want to add? Commissioner Governor, anything you want to add? I do want to say that I think at staff level now, at least with the leadership staff, and I believe with the Transportation Committee staff and both the House and Senate, some excellent lines of communication have been opened. I think that's going to help here in the coming months.
November.
I guess we'll see. This group will meet in November, I guess, for a little update. It's hopefully just a little update of where things are at. Commissioner, anything you want to add on the I-35? It looks like they're on site now, and things should be starting to develop there.
Can I ask a question?
And I think the design has been pretty well received. Never unanimous, but Madam Speaker.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, if you wouldn't mind, Commissioner Molnow, was there a groundbreaking scheduled for today? I just happened to get a press call about this, that something was canceled, and I had heard this actually on the radio last week as well, and I'm just curious, and you certainly may designate if you want to, but I'm just very curious what the situation with that is.
Madam Speaker and Mr. Chair, your question was about the groundbreaking.
Yes, and just that there was some, I think some folks referenced today, right? Is that correct?
And originally they had thought about the possibility of doing a groundbreaking, but because of the project and the reason why we're replacing the bridge, we didn't believe that a groundbreaking would be appropriate.
Thank you for that, Commissioner.
Okay, can I just want to hand the Senate had been working, you know, simultaneous with you, and we had a draft resolution for this particular purpose today, and I think we just want to give it to members, and there's some kind of fact-finding stuff in here that maybe we could get in the record at some point. But just since our staff worked quite a bit on this in conjunction with your staff, and we just decided to go a slightly different approach, but I think some of the facts that are laid out in here, and the department should look at, we're not going to do anything with this now, but look at it. And I think it lays out kind of some of the facts that we found out here while this group was meeting. And at some point, we may just want to put all that into the record. But we've decided to go a different approach rather than a resolution approach. So that's just for purposes of members to look at. If that factual stuff, the first couple pages here, doesn't sound quite right, let us know at staff level. But the idea was to kind of document some of the work that was done here. Okay, anything else, members? Appreciate your time and effort. Appreciate the staff of the agency and finance committee, both transportation and finance department, work on this. And hopefully this bodes well for future activities here in transportation.
Lauren, do you have your copy?
Meeting adjourned.
Give you a copy of this.